Joining us now, he's going to talk a little A-10 and Davidson basketball. Jared Latch joins us. Jared, welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much. That was interesting playing music, but I think I enjoyed it in a weird way.
Yeah. But it's only in a weird way. It's not like in a good way or an interesting way. It's totally in a weird way. Jared, it's neutral. We'll go with that. Jake somewhere is shaking his head right now. Jared, I'm curious, as we look at the Davidson basketball season upcoming, I mean, around here, we've all been seduced by Steph Curry and all the things that he's doing now and what he did when he was at Davidson. In the A-10, big change for Davidson now in its third year. Big change from the Southern Conference. Fourth year. So, what are we seeing from this team already? They've had an exhibition game. They've played UNCW, who was good last year but is young this year. What are we seeing from the current Davidson squad?
Well, I think what you're seeing is that recruiting now has caught up to Atlantic 10 potential. You know, before playing in the Southern Conference, good conference, but one step down from where the Atlantic 10 is. And now finally, and guys like Kellen Grady and Luke Frampton, who disappointingly is out for the year, and also in Carter Collins and these freshmen and younger guys that are in the door, you're seeing this next level type of player. And it's been really exciting so far. A guy like Kellen Grady, who's, scored 20 plus in his first two games. That hasn't happened with the Davidson freshman in over 40 years when John Gurdy did that. So I think that's the biggest difference, is that you already have this existing system that head coach Bob McKillop has built over 29 years, and now you're getting A-10 caliber players in that system. And it's really exciting to watch that sort of maturation process unfold.
Yeah, and where Coach used to be, he used to pick up a lot more international miles than he does now in terms of his flight pattern around. He was when Coach arrived at Davidson, I always thought it was great that he would his ties to USA basketball and international play. He brought in some amazing international players who were flying under the radar of other American teams, and he could get them into the Southern Conference. I like that he said if you get some of these guys that have already done their mandatory military service, he's like, if you've taken live fire, you're going to take a charge. And I thought that was pretty good thinking on Coach's part. So now he doesn't necessarily have to travel the world. He can attract the better players here in the States. Is that starting to bear fruit?
I think somewhat. And there's still some of those guys. This is still there's a large international flavor to this current roster, and you guys have guys like Will McGarity and Oscar Mickelson, along with Dusan Kovacevic. So that international flavor is still there. I don't see that leaving completely. As you said, maybe it diminishes a little bit because he can draw talent, but I'm not sure what his plans are in that regard. So right now you have this healthy mix where he has always been able to find those guys, plug them in, and have them fit right into what he's looking to do, especially with the versatile bigger player that can play inside out and go out and convert on three-pointers, which we know they love to do.
So take us through this, this sort of pre-conference. We've got big games coming up. UNC this week. You've got Nevada. Now, when you're on the radio, are they Nevada or are they Nevada? You're a home team guy
I'm going with Nevada this year. I've said it both
All right.
ways in the past because I've never really been sure, but I'm going to go with Nevada.
Okay, so this week they've got Nevada. Tell us what we can learn from Davidson, now through, the beginning of December.
Well, I think we're going to find out a lot because you mentioned this non-conference schedule it's pretty packed. I think at one point we were looking at 10 NCAA tournament teams from a year ago. And when we look ahead to Nevada next Tuesday, they're a team that they were really a juggernaut offensively playing out west. And they're looking to go 4-0. They have a game against Pacific tonight. They played Rhode Island earlier this week. They won by 7 points. They've been winning by an average of 20-plus. Champs in the Mountain West Conference last year. And it was their first trip to the NCAA tournament in, I think, about 10 years. And they lost some talent from that team, but they have their third leading scorer back, and they have a lot of transfers with Power 5 experience. So that game on Tuesday night out in Nevada is certainly going to be a challenge. They have a head coach in Eric Musselman who has started to bring that program back. He just signed a new 5-year extension. Once Davidson gets through that, there's a date with App State next Saturday. They're a much improved team, I believe, under head coach Jim Fox. former assistant on the Davidson staff. And then that's just going to continue. UNC Charlotte, you know, they have struggled, but a rivalry game, you never know what's going to happen in that one. And then, as you said, got Carolina, there's a trip up to Virginia. And then off in Hawaii, they're going to play some quality teams as well. So these first two games, we know they performed well. I'm looking at this being my fourth year, I say I'm always a poor barometer of early season, you know, predictions with looking at teams. Because it seems every year I think a team's going to be really good, not in terms of just Davidson, but overall, and they turn out to be really bad or vice versa. But I think as we see them go through this schedule, we want them to get healthy, number one, and we'll also get to see the continued play of guys like Kellen Grady, John Axel Goodmanson. Those two guys in the backcourt have been fantastic over these first two games. And then the name we haven't even mentioned yet is Peyton Aldridge, who is a potential A-10 player of the year. He's just Peyton. I mean, he gets it done day in and day out, every single game, and he plays his role, whatever that might be. He's certainly a leader, the top leader on this team, and he just gets it done. So we'll see what they do. They will be stronger, as we know, because these non-conference schedules on the Davidson slate are loaded up every year with that intention to see where we find ourselves come Atlantic 10 conference time.
Again, Jared Latch, Davidson Atlantic 10 Radio, joining us. And, you know, Jared, I'm not as big a college basketball fan as I could be because, you know, I'm a Clemson Tiger, and they can disappoint you as much as any other team in the country can. When they're supposed to beat people, they don't, and they lose games by 1, 2, and 3 points as many times as the rest of the country combined, I think. But when you look at this Atlantic 10, I mean, these teams from top to bottom are teams that when I fill out my brackets, I'm going, ooh, I think these guys are the dark horse that are going to do some upsets. I mean, LaSalle, Davidson, Duquesne, St. Louis, Dayton, VCU, George Mason, George Washington, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, St. Joe's, Fordham, St. Bonnie's, Richmond. These are all teams that when you start filling out your bracket, you go, I think they can beat this team, and I think they can beat this team. This is a great conference, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, this year is interesting for, you know, a couple reasons. But the biggest reason is that the traditional powers in the last couple of years have been the VCUs, the Daytons. Both of those coaches are gone with Will Wade to LSU. Archie Miller went to Indiana. Those teams are sort of in a, I don't want to say a rebuilding phase, but an intermediate year where they've lost a lot of players. They're trying to replenish what they have. So there's an opportunity for these other teams, and everybody right now is looking toward Rhode Island and Danny Hurley because he's done a great job. He had most of his talent returning to a team that was, you know, could have went a lot deeper last year in the NCAA tournament. But E.C. Matthews, who's one of their key scorers, is out now for 4 to 6 weeks. He fractured his left wrist in the game this past week at Nevada. But they've got some other good players. Jared Terrell, I think, can be one of the best players in the league. Jeff Doughton was a really good freshman, now a sophomore on that team. And then St. Bonaventure's got, you know, you can dispute the best backcourt in maybe all of college basketball, or at least in that top tier with Jalen Adams and Matt Mobley. And St. Joe's, who's the third team that I look at the top there with Phil Martelli, he just continues to coach in this league, but he's got a great tandem too, and Shavar Newkirk and Lamar Kimball. And those guys are coming back from injuries from a year ago. So this is an interesting year. And then I wouldn't leave out LaSalle. And I've been watching them the last couple of years because they have had a lot of transfers on their immediate radar that were in those, you know, sitting out, getting ready to play. But they have a big-time player in B.J. Johnson, and I believe he came from Syracuse. He's averaging 22-12 so far this year in the early going. The Explorers are 3-0, and he's a guy that can play against anybody. I mean, he can control a game by himself. But as you said, this is a deep league. You know, they're used to getting a few years back, they were getting six teams in the tournament on a consistent basis. You know, it's been three tops the last couple years, one a year ago, so that was disappointing. But I think this year, hopefully, you're looking at 3 to 4 teams from the Atlantic 10. But it is a deep league, and it is competitive. Even those lower-tier teams, when it comes to the standings in mid to late February, are going to challenge you, especially on the road, although that's probably a theme that extends across most of college basketball. But it's an exciting league to be a part of, and I expect Davidson to be in the thick of this thing all the way to March.
Well, and Jared, when you look at this league top to bottom, I mean, Davidson's new to it. The first year, maybe year and a half season, I think they were overlooked a little bit, maybe underestimated. I mean, Davidson is the smallest Division I school in the country, and the academic rigor and everything else. I think that they came into league and no one knew what to expect. Everyone knew about the Steph Curry years, but that was about it. So have any natural rivalries started to emerge? I know it's early, but for Davidson, you would think Richmond maybe is a similar enough school. But are there rivalries that you sense when you're in the arenas that are that mean more to these teams than maybe other matchups?
Yes, in the last couple of years, and I'll go with the other Richmond school, VCU has been a team that has really formed a rivalry. They've had some great games, and maybe it's because of the scheduling as well, because some of those have taken place on Friday nights. They were non-traditional times over the first couple of years in the league. So that rivalry with VCU has been exciting. The Siegel Center, I don't know if you guys have ever been up there, one of the best environments in the country to watch college basketball. I mean, they pack it in Richmond to watch the Rams play. And then the other is Rhode Island has become intense, and I think – the reason being is that going up there is either the first or second year in the league. I believe the first. Went up to Rhode Island and beat a good Rams team there as well. So I think that immediately clicked in and said, you know what? We can play with these guys. This is exciting. And to steal one on their home court was a big deal. So I think between those two teams, VCU and Rhode Island, I would give them the nod right now as close to a rivalry as you could get within conference.
All right, and looking to December 1st, that Friday night matchup down at the Spectrum Arena, downtown Charlotte with the Tar Heels. I mean, what's a reasonable expectation for that game? I mean, I know Davidson's going to fight. They're going to compete. They're going to, you know, take the air out of the ball some of the time, and then they're going to run some of the time. But what's a reasonable expectation for those of us who will be there early to watch that game?
You know what? That's a really tough question. Thanks for throwing that to me. Reasonable expectation for that game is to look at Davidson to play a turnover-free game, not in the sense of not turning it over, but a smart game in handling the basketball. And then it sounds so elementary, but they'll have to shoot the lights out from three-point land and somehow use a rotation that can match the energy and the endurance of a team like Carolina that just has 8, 9, 10, 11 guys that if they wanted to could rotate, come in, add some energy. It will be important that each Davidson player in that rotation, you know, is able to match some of that intensity. And I think that's the hardest thing, because you could come out and you could start slow and you could find yourself down 25 points. You could hang in and then toward the end you could run out of energy. So it's such a delicate balance for Davidson. It's hard to predict, you know, in a way, what to look for or how that would play out. But I certainly look for Davidson as a team that will always empty the tank. So I think that's what we're guaranteed of, is that they will empty their tank in that game. Now, whether they can shoot a high percentage from three and if they can get some bounces to go their way to be in that game with 10 minutes to go, I'm not sure. I hope that's going to be the case. But I think between shooting perfection and then matching energy, I think those are the two things that we can look for. And again, you know, with 12 minutes, 10 minutes left, where will they be? I don't know, but I hope they'll be in that game, because those first two things are working to a high degree.
All right, Jared, before we let you go, if Davidson's going to win the A-10, they're going to have to consistently do what over the course of the season?
Win, dummy.
Stay healthy.
I think right now, staying healthy, what I've seen in these first two games, and it's been very promising, especially with the play of Kellen Grady, John Axel Goodmanson in that backcourt. They have a number of guys that can handle the basketball. But you look at the numbers, and this is what head coach Bob McKillop in the postgame the other night said was really unprecedented in what they've done, assist-to-turnover ratio. 52 assists, 7 turnovers through the first two games. Not that that trend will continue, but you hope that it will somewhat. We know those numbers are unrealistic. Between Goodmanson and Grady in the backcourt, 22 assists, no turnovers through two games. And again, the guy that we haven't even really talked about. Peyton Aldridge, potential player of the year in the league, does everything well, crafty with the basketball, a good player. He will play his role. He won't try to control a game that he doesn't need to. So it's about staying healthy. It's about taking care of the basketball. And it's about getting multiple players involved from the three. And I guess the one other thing I would add that is, and Coach brought this up as well over these first two games, that the big question mark over the last couple of years has been the Wildcat teams have struggled to close games. And I think part of that has been lack of depth. It's been players being hurt. And when you got to 12, 11, 10 minutes to go in the second half of a game, they'd be hanging in, but they'd lose by 8 or 9 points. So for Davidson, as you know, a lot of things have to go well, but they have all those pieces in place to be successful. But I go with the health, I go with closing out games, and I go with taking care of the basketball, because that last one has been, it's close to being a trend. Two games, small sample size, but extremely good numbers, superb in that area so far. So either way, I think we're guaranteed this will be an exciting team to watch because of the mix of players.
All right. Well, Jared, we appreciate you coming on and dropping a little Davidson and A-10 knowledge for us. We'll be watching.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.